brother and sister Barbie. We appreciate the good song today. And
the Bible tells us that we can cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And I'm thankful that He does. I'm thankful for God's watch, care, and protection. I want to ask for your prayers today as I stand before you and try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me today, I'd ask you to turn to the 149th Psalm. And what I would like to read today is the last two Psalms, Psalm 149 and 150. Together, they consist of 15 verses. There's a great message in these Psalms. So I'm going to begin reading with Psalm 149, verse 1, and read on through the end of Psalm 150. It starts by saying, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Israel be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord." Praise ye the Lord, starting with the 150th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And that's reading those two Psalms, Psalm 149 and 150, for a scripture reading. And I want to ask you a question. Do you think maybe that the psalmist here was trying to get the point across that we need to praise the Lord? Think about all of the times just in those two psalms that I read, just those 15 verses, how many times that it mentioned praising the Lord. And it's gave us some very specifics there as to how to praise Him. It even began there in the 150th Psalm. It began to mention specific types of instruments to be used in praising the Lord. And you know what I get from this, and you know, we may not do everything exactly that we find listed here, that we find spoken of in these Psalms. We may not use the exact type of instruments that were spoken of here in this verse. We may not do exactly to the letter the things that were said here in this Psalm, but I believe that we ought to take from this that we are to praise the Lord in all that we do. You know, everything that we do when we come together to worship, everything that we do ought to be about Him, and it ought to be to His praise and to His honor and to His glory. This meeting today, this assembly here today, we're not gathered together to worship one another and glorify one another and exalt one another. It's not about us, it's about the Lord. He's the one that deserves to be exalted and glorified and honored, and he's the one that deserves praise. He deserves all the praise today that we can possibly give to him. And I want to talk today to the people of God about praising the Lord. I want to share with you for just a little while about how important that it is for us to praise the Lord, and speak perhaps a little bit about the effects of God's people praising the Lord. And I think we all understand, if you're here today and you have been saved by God's grace, then we all, I believe, should understand that we have so much to praise Him for. God has been so good to us. He has given us the greatest gift that anybody can ever possibly have. He gave to us His free gift of salvation, and that alone is enough for us to praise Him, not only while we continue to live in this life, but to praise Him for all of eternity. When I was studying this, I thought about the second verse of the song that we often sing about, you know, how thankful that we are that the Lord touched us and made us whole. And I thought about the verse that says, "Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls." And so we will not only, for the children of God, we will not only be praising Him here, but one day we'll be praising Him in eternity. And I'm convinced that that when we all get to heaven, when all of God's children get home, that we're going to be able to praise Him much more perfectly than we ever have here on the earth. We have too many things that we allow, I'm afraid, to hinder us while we are living here, but one day I'm convinced that we will give to Him a much more perfect praise, and I'm looking forward to us being able to do that, to praise Him. We're never going to, not in this life or even in the world to come, we'll never be able to praise God as much as we should, but we're certainly going to be able one day to praise Him more perfectly. And that's when I think of heaven, that's one of the things that warms my heart and makes me feel good that one day I will be able to praise Him better, to praise Him more perfectly than I've been able to here on the earth. Brother Ernie this morning, when he was reading the scripture before Sunday school, he read Matthew's account of the Great Commission, of what the Lord told His church to do, how that He told His church to go and preach the gospel to all the world. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And today, I don't believe that for those of us here that make up the membership of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, and for our visiting brothers and sisters as well, I believe that we all understand, if I stand before you today and I say the Lord left His church here in the world to take the gospel out to all nations of people, we all certainly agree with that, don't we? He commissioned His church to maintain the ordinances that He gave her. When somebody repents of their sin and places their trust in the Lord and is saved by His grace, and they unite with the Lord's church and we hear their testimony, then we are to baptize that person in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I believe we all agree that we are to do that as His church, aren't we? But you know, the same Bible, the same scriptures that teach us that we are to carry out the Lord's work in that way, the same Bible teaches us that as His people, that we are to praise the Lord. I mean that we are to openly praise the Lord. That is our purpose here. That is one of our purposes here in this life, in this world, as the Lord's church, that we are to show forth the praises of the Lord. In the first epistle of Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he said, "But you are a holy generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now, it shouldn't be any problem for us as God's people. It shouldn't be any problem for us to praise the Lord, should it? Because He has called us out of the darkness of sin and into His marvelous eternal light. I'll tell you what, when the Lord saved my soul, He put light in there that's going to shine forever. He lit up my soul. Did He not do that to yours? Called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, the Bible says this, and I'm going to share several verses with you today from the Psalms, because when you read the book of Psalms, the Psalms in their entirety, they say so much more about praise than what you're going to find anywhere else in the Bible. You read through the Psalms, I think that we could probably call the Psalms the praise book of the Bible, because the writer of these Psalms just spoke time and time and time and time again about how necessary it is and how important that it is that we as God's people openly, vocally praise the Lord. And the effects that it will have upon the world are shown to us in the Word of God. Listen, God doesn't need for His people to be silenced. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible, and I'm going to prove this, I think very easily by the Scriptures, but let's not just hide behind our hearts, because the Bible teaches us that we are to praise God openly, that we are to praise Him vocally. And I've got three or four verses that I want to share with you that tell us that very thing. You know, God gave to us, when He created us, He made us exactly the way that He wanted us to be. And one of the things that He did for us was He gave us the ability to be able to communicate by speech. He gave us the ability. He gave the human race the ability to talk. He gave us a voice. And the Bible tells us time and time again that we are to use that. We are to use our mouth. We are to use our voice to proclaim the goodness of God and to vocalize His praises before people. We're not to be silent. And we are not to, and listen, I hope that this is understood, because I believe praise has got to come from our hearts. I sure do. I believe we've got to praise the Lord in our hearts, but what's in our hearts needs to come out in our speech. I want you to think about this. When we assembled here today, what would it have been like if Brother Strode at the beginning of the service, if he would have said, everybody turn your hymnal, everybody get the Heavenly Highway Hymns and turn to page 123. And everybody gets their book and turns to page 123, and then we all sit there going, moving our lips and nothing coming out. That'd be a little bit different, wouldn't it? I mean, that we wouldn't hear the singing that way. We could say it wouldn't do much good for us to say, well, I know that nobody heard that, but I was singing in my heart. The Bible teaches us to sing out with our voice. And that's what we do. And the Bible teaches us to testify, not to just keep things in our heart and not to hide behind our heart, but to let it be known by the words of our mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3:15, he said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and with fear. We ought to all be ready as God's people to speak for the Lord. As I said, everything that we say and everything that we do ought to come from the heart, but we can't hear each other's hearts, can we? But we can hear one another's words, and we can hear our voices. In the 22nd Psalm, in verse 3, very simple verse. It simply tells us that God is holy, and then that he inhabits the praises of Israel. You want God to show up? You want God to show up in your life? You want God to show up in your assembly? You want the Spirit of God to be present with us when we come together and we assemble to worship? Listen, God inhabits the praises of his people. You let the people of God get stirred up and start praising the Lord, and God is pleased to dwell among us, and God is pleased to manifest his presence and his power through the Holy Spirit. God loves to dwell where he's being praised. You know, the Bible teaches us that he is a jealous God. He won't have any other gods before him. And I'll tell you what, he's jealous when it comes to the glory that's due unto his name. He said through the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord. This is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God won't give it away. He won't give his glory away to any other. He won't give his praise to any other. We are to praise him and him alone. He's the one that is worthy of our praise. He inhabits the praise of his people. Well, I want to give you proof of what I said. I don't want to say something to you without trying to prove it. The Bible teaches us over and over that we are to praise the Lord vocally. Listen, there are people that assemble themselves together and they don't believe that people ought to say anything. They don't believe that the people sitting in the pews ought to say anything. You know what? I've been thankful throughout my life to be among the people that I have been among. I've been thankful throughout my life to be among people that believe that when the Spirit of God moves upon their heart, they ought to speak up and let it be known what God has done for them. I pray that we will always in our assemblies, listen, even if it takes some time to do it, I pray that we will always in our assemblies, that we will give way to the leadership of the Spirit of God and allow His people to speak up for the Lord. The world needs to hear what we have to say. This is a good practice, church. Don't ever abandon it. We ought to be at liberty to say what the Lord puts upon our heart. This is what the psalmist said. This is what David said that we find recorded in the 40th Psalm. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, placed my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Amen. If you're here today and God has done that for you, rejoice in that. That God has brought you out of the bondage of sin and that He has placed your feet upon that solid rock foundation. Folks, listen, we're standing on a foundation today that can never be shaken. We've been given something that we can never lose. We have been given something that can never be taken away from us. You know, the things that we have, the material possessions that we have in this life, they're all subject to be lost. They're all subject to decay. Jesus said we are not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal, and wherever a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is going to be also. And we have been given something that will never decay and that will never be stolen and will never pass away. We've been given what the Apostle Peter wrote about when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Beat that. Tell me anything that'll exceed that. Whew. I'm glad I'm saved. I praise the Lord today for the salvation of my soul. Brought me up out of a horrible pit. Remember that? Remember what it was like to be lost? Remember the fear that was in your heart? Remember the pain that was in there? Remember the sorrow? Remember the condemnation? Remember the sorrows of death compassing you and the pains of hell getting hold upon you, and you were in trouble and you were in great sorrow? Remember the moment that God lifted you out of that horrible pit and placed your feet upon a rock and established your goings? That ought to be enough. That ought to be enough for us to praise Him for all of eternity. It doesn't get any better than that. And this is what the psalmist said when he did that, when he brought him out of the horrible pit, when he had placed his feet up on a rock and established his goings. He said, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." You know what? When the Lord saved my soul, there was something that I could share with people. There was something I could tell other people. There was something that I could say that I could never say before. He put something new. He put a new song in my mouth. He gave me a testimony that I had never had before. He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things become new. I want to share some of these other verses with you. Psalm 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 71 and 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. My mouth. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. In Psalm 109:30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. God's word tells us to speak what's in our heart, doesn't it? What he has put in our heart. He tells us to be vocal and to speak for the Lord. Now listen. You know, it's not my job as a pastor. It's not these brethren's job as deacons. It's not our job to tell each other what we are to do. It's not my job to stand up here before you today and say, well, you're supposed to speak and you're supposed to speak. The Holy Spirit does that work very well, and he doesn't need me to interfere with that. And he doesn't need you to interfere. The Holy Spirit can move upon our hearts, and he can not only impress upon us what he needs us to say, but he can take that when we say it, and he can make it effective, and he can use it to help other people. But I'm going to say this. When I think about the fact that the Holy Spirit of God does lead his people, and also the fact that the Bible tells us that we are to speak for the Lord, we are to praise him with our mouth. Listen, if we never do that, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. We just can't, listen, we can't sit back and say, well, God just never moved me to speak. No, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. His Spirit leads us. His Word tells us that we are to praise him with our mouth. And I mean, to me, that would be like somebody knowing that God had called them to preach, but they never preach because they say, well, God just not leading me. No. We can't hide behind those things. We need to follow the Spirit, and we need to do what he tells us to do in his word. I believe, I'm convinced that the Spirit of God will move upon the hearts of his children. I'm convinced that the Spirit of God will move upon the hearts of all of his children to testify of his goodness. God wants everyone that he has saved to tell the world about it. He doesn't want any of us to hold that back. But the question is, how often do we quench that? How often do we suppress that? How often do we push God away and reject him and reject the leading of his Holy Spirit? And then we turn around and say, well, he didn't really impress me to do anything. Well, maybe we just didn't listen to him when he did. The Bible tells us very plainly that we are not to quench the Spirit. We are not to suppress that. We are to follow that and to be willing to be a mouthpiece to be used for the honor and the glory of God. In the 33rd Psalm, in the first verse, the psalmist said, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. That word praise has a variety of meanings. It can mean beautiful, comely. Comeliness can mean beautiful, but it also means suitable. Praise is suitable for the people of God. It's suitable for the righteous, for us to praise Him. I've got one more thought that I want to share with you. Well, actually, I've got a lot, but I've got one more thought I want to make sure that I share with you here today. In the 74th Psalm, in a portion of the 21st verse, it says, "Let the poor and needy, the poor and needy, praise thy name." Listen, God has been so good to us, so good to His people, so good by saving us by His grace, that we ought to be willing to praise His name no matter what we are facing in life. Let the poor and the needy praise Him. We ought to be willing to praise Him in prosperity, and we ought to be willing to praise Him in poverty. We ought to be willing to praise Him when we're well rested, and we ought to be willing to praise the Lord when we're tired. We ought to be able to praise Him when we enjoy good health, and we ought to be willing to praise Him when we're sick. We ought to be willing to praise the Lord when we're up on the mountain, when we're happy, when God has blessed us and we're happy. We ought to praise the Lord, but listen, we ought to praise Him when we're down in the valley too. God's still God, isn't He? He's still God. There's a song that says, "You're still God when I've cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope disappears. You're still God." God's good to us no matter what state we find ourselves in this life. God is worthy of being, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that God is worthy of being praised with the very last breath that I have to speak. The very last thing that I would be able to say in this life, God is worthy of my final praise here in this world. Oh, that God would allow it, that God would allow my final words in this life to be to His praise and to His honor and to His glory. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not. I have. I'm confident that some of you here have as well. I've been privileged a few times to be with somebody when they were just praising God as they left the world. I think that's a good way to go out, with the last words that we would have to speak. Let our mouth praise the Lord. Be willing to speak for Him. I want to encourage the young Christians, when you're around your friends, when you're at school, you'll get past some things as you age. But I want to encourage the young Christians, don't ever be ashamed of the Lord. Serve Him in your youth. You'll be ridiculed, probably be laughed at, but just lift up your voice and praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, when we come to sing, every service we have, when we come to sing, whether it's Brother Strode, Brother Ernie, whoever it is, stands up and says, "Open your songbooks to page 123. Listen, every song that we sing ought to be to the praise of God. If we're not praising the Lord, that's what the Psalms are about. That's what it tells us over and over and over, that when we sing, that we are to be praising the Lord. If we're just singing songs, we're not going to affect anybody. If we're singing praises to God, it'll have its effect. I'll prove that to you before I quit. Paul and Silas in prison. In Philippi, thrust into the inner prison, feet made feet and hands made fast in the chains, in the stocks. Midnight, they begin to sing, and they begin to pray and to sing praises to God. Hear these men. I told you we ought to be able to praise Him no matter what state we find ourselves in. Here these men were in the inner prison. They weren't in a big prison yard. They were in the inner prison. They were in a dungeon. They were in a dark, dirty dungeon. And they begin to lift up their voices and sing praises unto God. Boy, I'd have liked to have heard that. And the chains fell off. I mean, God showed up. The power of God was manifested, and their chains fell off, and they were loose. And it had such a profound effect upon that jailer that he came in before him and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen, when we sit in the congregation, when the saints congregate, if you want lost people to desire to have the Lord, you let the people of God start praising the Lord and rejoicing. And I'll tell you what, they'll want what we have. I've seen it happen. I experienced it in my own life. If we sit around like we just lost our best friend and our favorite dog just got ran over by the car and died, we're not going to have much of an effect on people, are we? We need to praise our King. We need to be like those people were when he was riding into Jerusalem on that colt. And they begin to lay the branches before him. And they begin to praise him openly, publicly. And those Pharisees, those self-righteous Pharisees said to Jesus, "Rebuke them for that. Rebuke your disciples for praising you that way." And the Lord said, "Well, if I do, the stones will just cry out. The stones will just start praising him." But it's not the job of the stones, is it? It's our job. It's our job, people. It's the job of God's people. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. It's our instruction to show forth the praises of the one that's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I like that song. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. We like to sing songs about, you know, what we're going to experience. I know I do. I love to sing songs about what we're going to experience in heaven. But I'll tell you what, I love the songs that just exalt the Lord. How great thou art. Oh God, how great thou art. How great he is. He's worthy of all praise. Brother Strode. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Praise him. In song, in testimony, praise him with your mouth.
Number 231. You that care to, let's stand up. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangel in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Verse 3. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. heavenly portals, loud with Hosanna ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.